We are getting into what folk call the Easter season. As a Christian, we are into the Easter season all the time. Amen. You see, it is a time period throughout creation that God had set aside for His Son to come. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, knew what awaited Him. He tells us in His own words how He came from heaven and He would return to heaven. You and I were made of the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth we shall return. God looked at us whenever age it was ago, because there's no such thing as time with God. And He says, I know you. I see you. I see you as an individual, and I want you to know something. I am coming, and I'm coming for your sake. I am going to come, and I'm going to take your punishment that you deserve. I am coming, and all the hurt and pain that is going on in your mind and in your physical being, I am going to experience, and then I am going to take that hurt and pain, brokenness, all the evil that goes along with brokenness, and I'm going to take it to the cross for you. Because I love you. We know from study of God's Word that if only one person ever existed, Christ would have died for that one. It's God's plan. So what does God say? God looks to us as His children, and He says, I want you to follow the guidelines. I want you to follow the book I have given you. And I want you to understand how much I love you in each step you take on planet Earth. And here's what I want you to do. When the time comes, I am going to come into your heart. And I'm going to reveal myself to you. There's one revelation that each one of us have received. All of us, the same revelation. All the human race, the same revelation. That God is going to come and live in the heart of man through His Son, Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to show you how to do this. So as Christ comes as 100% human, 100% God, as Christ comes, He says, here's a big key for you. You want to find peace, you want to find joy, you will find it in the heartache and the heartbreak and the hurt and the pains of life. Lord, I thought that I was going to find it in the good times. Folks, if you don't find it in the bad times, you will have no good times. God says, I want you to look, and here's what I want you to do. I want you, in representing me, to stand, and I want you to deliver. Each one of us, Christian, have been given the same mission. Stand and deliver. Now, I've given you the guidelines of life in my book, the Holy Bible. I want you to see what my Son, my only begotten Son, went through because He loves you. I want you to understand that my Son was bringing to earth my message. And on His own, He spoke nothing of Himself, only of what I told Him to speak. He never put himself above me, and he made himself lower than you, that we might understand such love. Stand and deliver. What does that mean, Lord? It means watch my son. Read his story. And he will show you how to stand and deliver. Jesus says he never ever backed down from delivering God's word to his generation. Physically. And he says, by the way, now that I have come, I will never leave nor forsake you. Ever. But God says, follow my plan. Stay firm. Are you really? In love and faith. Stand firm. In love and faith. Stand firm in my love. If it's your love or my love, folks, we're going to mess it up. You got it? Stand firm in my love and stand firm in faith in me. We've missed that so many times in our life. We put our trust in things. We put our direct trust in other people. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. I could not love until God first loved me. You and I don't know anything about true love. God does. Because he has given to me and you his true love. My love will not falter. My love will not fail. You will slip. You will fall into the ditch. But I want you to know I'm going to love you out of it. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm. Deliver. Do you remember there was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane that very night that Jesus was betrayed, and his prayers were such prayers of anguish. Now why? He knew he was getting ready to go home to the Father. Why? Because he had to experience the total act of the human experience. And the most horrible part of it was when he was on his knees and praying. And the scripture says that he sweated as drops of blood come from him. That's passion. That's agony. But you see, he just wasn't taking his human spirit, his human experience. He was taking yours and mine. That'll draw the blood out of you. For that very night when he was betrayed, blood started. Started in the garden with him in prayer. And it continued through his crucifixion, through his burial, and boy, that day's a-coming. They thought they had him, but the tomb did open. The world had messed one time too many with God's Son. And Jesus says, look, I'm going to do this once. Can you imagine having to die twice? Can you imagine the agony there? Do you realize that it is only appointed to a man to die once, then after that the judgment? Do you know that only those who don't know Jesus have to die the second death? And that's being trapped in the human body throughout eternity with all its aches and pains and agony that you or I cannot imagine. Stand and deliver just like I did. Do it in love. Deliver the good news. When you're going to stand and deliver what you want me to deliver, Lord, the good news. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just read it a while ago. John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, not everlasting death. Everlasting life. I know Jesus. And he says now, deliver the message I gave to you. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, his disciples, he's getting ready to leave planet Earth. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Always looked at that scripture. And as young preachers would come along and say, I just don't have my preacher voice. I don't know what that is. And I had a great friend, Dr. Hal Poe, he's got two or three PhDs now, but a real smart, real loving individual. And he did a study in one of his PhD things. He did a study on why do preachers' voices change. You know what he ended up with? When the Holy Spirit touches the heart of man, man changes. That when Almighty God makes that difference in your heart, in your life, your voice changes. And I thought, gosh, that's amazing, isn't it? Well, isn't everything God does sort of amazing for us? We don't understand it. But it is through faith. It is through actually the faith he gave you and me to give back to him. There's nothing I can do for the Lord or give to the Lord that he did not give to me to begin with. And he says, where's your loyalty? Well, Lord, I love you. Really? Have you stood and delivered my message or your own? Have you stood so long and you did not deliver the good news? Have you beat them so bad that they don't feel worthy? You all and me do not need a beating to make us feel and know that we're not worthy. Jesus didn't save me because I was worthy of it. He saved me because he loves me. I love you, Larry. And as you grow up, in those younger years, yeah, I love me too, Lord. Keep it up. And then when we start getting a little age on us, and we start sort of figuring out what God meant then, and we took it the wrong way, and then if we realize, no, you're not that good. And Jesus says, but I am. I'm that good. I never sinned, Larry. And I promise you, when you deliver my good news, I'm on the front line with you, standing directly in front of you and giving you my authority to deliver to the world the good news that my Father gave me. And I experienced it because of what Jesus did on that cross. He had an experience that you and I will never have to have. It'll never happen to you or me. Never. From before time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some people say, why do you tell that all the time? That's good news. It's the good news. You and I do not have a right to change the scripture of Almighty God. Said, I'm going to give it all. And we think of all of our sins and all going to the cross. But that was the only time that God the Son, Jesus Christ, was ever separated from God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. That day, he felt total abandonment. And he looks to heaven on that cross and says, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? That is the Easter story. Because, son, Larry Pete's coming. He named each one of us. Because you took this for them, they will never experience that. That's why you kept hearing Jesus when he would say, Not my will, but thine be done. Let your will be done, Lord. I don't have to understand God's will. What I need to do as a Christian is to understand that God's will is loaded with love for me. He loves me. The unlovable. He loves me so much that he stood and he delivered his only begotten Son for me and for you individually. Stand firm. You and I, if we're going to stand and deliver, we need to stand firm in our condemnation of false teachings. I will never, ever, all say, yeah, you know, there's many ways to heaven. No, there's not. One way, one name. His name is Jesus. There's no name mentioned under creation by which you can be saved other than that of Jesus Christ. One way. One love. Jesus said, I really love you. You, Christian, listen to me. Open up the listening part of your ears that goes to your spirit and understand something. It doesn't matter what has gone on in your life, the circumstances, or anything else, God says, I love you, and what you see right now as tragedy, I have great news. It won't be tragedy for long because you stand and you stand for me. I've never been asked by God to fight. I have never, from the time God called me, he did not say, now I want you to plow a burrow right through all of this. No. He has always said, stand and deliver. Lord, I don't have anything to deliver. Good. Lord, my hands are empty. Good. Lord, I can't even think straight. You never could. Good. Lord, what do I do? When you say that, that's when God says, they're ready. They're ready, for they admit they don't know what they're doing. Mark 7, verses 6 through 8. He replied, now these are the Pharisees again, the religious leaders. These are all the people that didn't show up at his birth because they didn't believe it would happen that way. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe about the Word of God. Here's something you need to understand. God is not going to change his Word because you don't believe it. Well, you know, it's just not palatable for me. Well, go start getting older like the pastor is, and you can't taste anything anyway except for White Castles. And God says, stand strong in the faith. How do I do that? And in his word, how do I do that? I come, I stand. He did not tell me to do more than the stand. Because he was already on the front line. He's already conquered the front line. And he wants us to understand something. I want you to stand firm, and all I want you to do is repeat my word to the world. You do not have to make up words for me. You repeat what I've given you to repeat. Lord, it doesn't make any sense. Well, neither do you. Any of you ever think about common sense isn't very common? Has anybody just let their mouth fly open and that thing is in there start rattling and you don't even remember what that thing called a tongue said? Well, you don't have to worry. I guarantee you, anybody that knows you, they will remind you throughout your time on earth. Starting with verse 6. He replied to them, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. Many today read that and I hear him say, you know, that really isn't what Jesus said, because that's just rude. You know, Jesus would have been more Christ-like than to have said this. Folks, trust God's word. As it is written, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. No wonder they got mad. No wonder they wanted him dead. We got to get rid of this Jesus. Why, he's wreaking havoc throughout the land. And if we don't stop him now, his voice will be heard throughout the world. Obviously, they didn't stop him. I still hear his voice. You still hear his voice. That's why all the psychologists, psychiatrists tell us we're crazy. Because we think we can relate to a deity. And not only that, that deity actually talks to us. And they've got a pill for it. Don't take it. That's a problem right now. It is okay to be human. Please, the listening audience and all, please don't say that preacher said don't take your medicine. No, he didn't. Don't take the false security that man has a cure for your psychological problem of thinking that God really hears you. Just go ahead and accept it when somebody says, oh, you're a Christian, you're nuts, right? Yep. I am so proud to be crazy for the Lord. And then go to a ball game. It doesn't matter who's playing. And listen to the fans. Go crazy over a game. And everyone says it's fantastic because listen to the crowd roar. Well, they're nuts. Look at the Christians. Don't hear much about Christians anymore. The only focus I've heard in recent years about Christians truly believing is from overseas. Watching individual Christians that didn't grow up in a nation like ours, grew up in hardship that nobody here has ever experienced, and they said yes to Jesus Christ. Such authority Christ had given them, he blessed them with the holy boldness to give up their life instead of rejecting his name. Would that work in our generation in America today? Oh, don't you worry, we're Southern Baptists. Go ahead and do it. We can repent later. What if there's no more later for you or me? What if They're not appreciated if you're going to die, do it outside the church. That we have decided that you and I know best of how something ought to be done for God. And we need to understand that when we listen to God's word and we focus on what He's told us to do, then you and I need to pay attention that it's not through us, it is through Him. It's His word. Your words are going to get you in trouble, Larry. Man, have they ever. My words will get you killed. So Christians stand and they think, you know, if I don't, you know, if I just said that I don't believe that, you know, if I just said I can live. If I don't, I'm going to have to physically die. You and I do not have the individual strength to stand up under that. You don't. I'll tell you right now. Because each one of us will search within our heart. I don't know. What would I do if they said they're going to kill my child? What am I going to do if they say all you need to do is reject Christ? What will you do? Few will stand strong. But only the few that God gave the authority to do that. Now, you got problems in the world. You got situations that you can't handle. You got individuals that are giving you a hard way to go. You are not going to straighten them out. You want to make certain that God makes a difference in their life? Then tell God on them. Tell God on them. Admit you can't do it. Because He said, I want you to come and I want you to go out and I want you to stand firm. And here's what I want you to say. Not your words. Don't ever say, "That's if they did that to me, here's what I'd do." Don't ever say that. You have no idea. And any individual that's been in combat has learned that. Finally, deliver God's heads up. You know, when I was doing this, I thought, now wait a minute, how should I approach that part? It's giving them a heads up. That's what preachers do. That's what teachers do. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Give the world a heads up. Well, what's the heads up? John 3:16. For God so loved, that's one. But listen to this. James, a half-brother to Jesus, says it this way. You too, speaking to the Christians, be patient and stand firm. That's simple for all of us to do. Be patient. For one thing, it will take an act of God for any one of us to be patient to begin with. And then He says, stand firm. Stand firm. Do you remember any scripture that dealt with a firm foundation? Do you remember any of the focus in scripture that says, stand firm on the solid foundation? That's the foundation in which we stand. Because the Lord's coming is near. All of the thousands of years prior to the coming of Jesus by Mary pointed to His coming. It had gotten such in the world that nobody believed it. They've been saying that for 1,000 years. Jesus is coming. Then when He comes, nobody recognized Him. Again, during that birth, the coming of Christ, people started to believe. Now 2,000 years later, our generation is saying the exact same thing that the generation prior to the birth of Christ said. Oh, they've been saying that forever. Those Christians have been saying that forever. And James says, you stand firm because Jesus is coming again. Then Jesus tells us exactly how it's going to happen, what's going to happen, but he never tells us the when, other than when my Father says so. Jesus said, I don't even know. My Father knows. The angels of heaven don't even know. My Father knows. But trust me, he's coming. Well, you know, I don't think I'm too nervous about that because, again, you preachers, that's all you say. Well, let me give you another thought process then. You ready? At the point your physical life is over here on earth, you will meet Jesus. He has come for me, for you. Said, I'm coming. He's already within us. We say he's coming. That's when we call the rapture time, the second coming of Christ. He is coming when he says to you, come on home, Larry Pete, come on home. I love you. He said, I just love you. I quit asking God why. Because it's beyond human understanding. Why? So therefore, I just accept his love. I just accept it. But I do know this. When he says, I want you to stand firm, then this preacher must stand firm. I may cry. I may yell in agony. But I will not renounce the name of the living God. I will not turn my back on my Savior. I've always thought of what can we do to put a smile on God's face. Do it in love. Whatever you do it in love. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. And then he says, I love you. The beginning. When I said yes to Jesus, that was the beginning of my eternity with him. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your love, for your truth, for your Son. Father, give us courage now, each one of us, that we might boldly stand firm, unshakable through your power. I pray, Father, that as you touch hearts, you will open the minds where so many can see your love and understand it, your love. Touch us now, Father, as we reach out with your truth, your love to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.